it's a significant settlement because it helps us to write a new chapter in the government-to-government relationship that the United States enjoys with Indian tribes. These cases involved a number of claims about the way the United States was managing property and managing money that it held in trust for Indian tribes around the country. These cases have been going on for a long, long time. And we were able to, after a lot of hard work and a lot of important negotiations, come to an agreement whereby 41 of these tribes have settled these claims. They're called trust mismanagement or trust accounting claims.
When we're speaking about these land trust issues, can you just give me an example of what some of those issues were?
Sure. Some of the claims are, for instance, that the United States did not invest in tribal trust funds properly. So on Indian lands, for instance, you will find that there are gas leases, there are oil leases, there are leases that the United States will make to make that land productive. And the revenue from that production and from that economic activity, that is to go into tribal trusts that are held in trust for the benefit of tribes. And the allegations were that the United States did not do that properly over the time that it's had this trust obligation. Other allegations included we did not do a proper job of collecting fully the revenues that were due and owing under those types of leases, or that we actually didn't account for how much money was to go to particular trust accounts properly. So those are the types of claims that were being made.
And in the settlement, is the U.S. admitting fault to any of that?
No, what the United States does is we have collected an awful lot of information about how these trusts were managed over time. We've shared that information with Indian tribes, and we've come to an agreement that Indian tribes will, in most cases, release those claims against the United States, and we will move forward with a renewed commitment to the trust responsibilities that the United States has toward Indian tribes.
So with some of these cases being over 100 years old, why were you able to settle it now? What were the factors that made this possible?
Well, I think it was really sort of a perfect storm of factors that came together. I think, first of all, there was great commitment by tribal leaders, by decision makers, by folks at the Department of the Interior, at the Department of the Treasury, and at the Department of Justice. The Obama administration's commitment to reconciliation and resolution of historic injustices has really been something that has been a high priority for the last 3 years. I think you've seen that type of commitment manifested in a number of lawsuits that have been settled, whether it's the Cobell lawsuit or the Keep Siegel lawsuit. These were also lawsuits involving Native Americans.
What was new about the approach that hadn't been tried before?
Well, I think one thing that was different is there had been a track record of commitment that the administration had demonstrated over time, from the supporting of, say, the Tribal Law and Order Act to the assigning of additional FBI agents and federal prosecutors in Indian country. There were a number of steps that the Department of Justice had taken, that the president and the administration had taken to sort of demonstrate its commitment to Indian country and to a new era of government-to-government relationship. And I think tribal leaders saw that opportunity. And in fact, in 2010, they wrote a letter. A number of them wrote a letter to President Obama inviting the Obama administration to engage in settlement negotiations to try to resolve these longstanding cases.
With some of these suits being so old, what were the particular challenges for your team, for the lawyers, in trying to bring this to resolution?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges that we faced is one that is evident by just the question you asked. These were very old cases, which meant that in many cases it was very difficult to get accurate information. A lot has happened. A lot of technology has changed in the last century in the way that we record information and keep information. And so trying to get accurate historical records, accurate accounting of exactly how these trust accounts were managed and handled. That was a challenge for everyone. But we were able to, through a number of processes, come to what we thought were accurate accounting of what the trust obligations were. We were able to gather an awful lot of information and share that information with Indian tribes. And we were able to, in these 41 cases, come to a fair and just and reasonable resolution.
We're speaking with Acting Associate Attorney General Tony West. You mentioned the Cobell case, a $3.4 billion settlement with individuals in Indian tribes that was settled in 2009. Now, I understand that there are a couple appeals. What status does that put Cobell into for the majority of people who should be receiving payment? And do you have any fear that that might happen here?
Well, you know, whenever you have a major settlement that involves many, many parties and involves lots and lots of money, it's not uncommon that you will have individuals who, for one reason or another, are not satisfied with all of the parts of that settlement. And I think what we're seeing is the same thing both in the Cobell case, and we will see what happens with the tribal trust settlements. We're not done. There are actually other tribes that have not yet settled that we continue to negotiate with.
And how many are they?
Well, we still have 71 tribes that have brought or are maintaining 54 cases. And so we continue to engage in settlement negotiations with them. Some of those cases are in active litigation, but we very much hope that we can reach fair and reasonable settlements in all of those cases.
Okay, sounds like you have your work cut out for you. Did you have any lessons that you learned through this whole process that you can apply to other work at the Justice Department?
Well, I think there are always lessons that you can learn in any important protracted litigation that you can apply to other cases. I think that in this case, of course, what we learned in the Cobell negotiations, that was an important data point for us in negotiating these particular tribal trust settlements. And going forward, what we've learned in negotiating resolutions to these 41 cases, as we look to negotiate resolutions with other tribes, we're going to obviously build on that knowledge. But I think the other lesson that we learn is that, you know, these are very hard cases, but they're important cases. They're important because they go to the core values that we have as a country. They go to a core commitment that we've made to American Indians in this country. And they really go to, I think, the value of persistence and not giving up, even though you're faced with what can sometimes seem like an intractable, unsolvable problem.